Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining me this half hour is Professor Yoshiko Herrera of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a political scientist and expert on Russia and international relations. We've been talking about the toolkit to push back on Putin's continued aggression. And it includes money, weapons, intel, sanctions. And it is the weapons piece that has been periodically throughout the conflict quite a tipping point, potential cliff to fall off of for Ukraine. Can the European Union step up and provide those munitions? There's a long supply chain and manufacturing process. This isn't a light switch flip where the U.S. says, listen, we're not going to be sending as much direct weapons and ammunition or munition support to Ukraine. And EU just says, oh, yeah, we'll send those over. It's going to take some time. How precarious is the armament situation for Ukraine at this moment?
Well, I think it's not as bad as it could be. One thing that's been in the news, there's two things that have been in the news a lot. One is drones and the innovation in drones, both in the production of them in Ukraine, also the use of fiber optic cable drones. So these are drones that are kind of connected by fishing wire that can't be jammed. And Russia innovated on those, but Ukraine is trying to catch up in that area. And also the Iranian Shahed drones that Russia is adapting. So drones are a big part of the story. And the other part of the story is missile defense. The Patriot missile defense system is really important for stopping the ballistic missiles coming into Ukraine. That's the ballistic missiles plus drones are what Russia has shot over 600 of over the last weekend. So the U.S. is the manufacturer of Patriot missile systems and defense systems. And that requires missiles to shoot down the ballistic missiles coming in. Now, Ukraine could run out of those, and that would be difficult for their defense. So I think those are some of the things people are looking at. But also, there's a lot of discussion in Europe now about what they can send and how quickly they can do it. And one thing I think that's interesting is the new German Chancellor Merz just said they're no longer going to say what they're sending to Ukraine. They're going to send things and they're not going to say what it is. And some people are speculating maybe that means they're going to send some things they weren't previously willing to send because of some disagreements internally. So that's another possibility. But there's no question that Europe is behind. Europe is behind on its own defense, not just in helping Ukraine. And they're desperately trying to catch up now.
And as a corollary to that, I believe I heard within the last couple of days that I don't know if it's specific to Germany or the EU, that they also were lifting restrictions on prior direct military equipment and munitions that had been given, but they were saying, don't use this stuff yet, that had been, like, effectively, they had been going more gloves off. Can you correct my layperson's hackneyed recounting of that?
Well, the thing is that situation changes a lot, so it's actually hard to keep up with it. I mean, one way to understand the story is that since the beginning of this war, restrictions were put on Ukraine, and the reason was they feared an escalation, nuclear escalation, et cetera. And every quarter or so, those restrictions get lifted. And like by many of the things, I mean, it's one of the criticisms, unfortunately, of the Biden administration, that if they had lifted some of the restrictions earlier, in 2022, Ukraine would have been able to do things that they weren't able to do. So the short story of these restrictions is that there's always these restrictions put in place, then they get lifted, and then everybody complains, why didn't you lift them earlier? Mm-hmm. And people retort because you're afraid of escalation. So that's kind of an ongoing debate. But at this point, it's a little bit different in that Europeans are considering, like, what do they need for their own defense, especially if the U.S. isn't going to be the backstop if there's a further Russian invasion of Poland or Estonia or something like that.
Folks, that's Professor Yoshiko Herrera of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We found the sound of J.D. Vance saying, I don't care about Russia. Let's take a listen. It's short.
I think it's ridiculous that we're focused on this border in Ukraine. I got to be honest with you. I don't really care what happens to Ukraine one way or another.
There it is. So the broader question that I want to ask you, and former Senator Jeff Flake put out an opinion piece today in the Washington Post, and he basically calls out Republicans. And he's, are there no more Russia hawks? Like, now is the time to stand up. What are you all doing? We're hearing this wishy-washiness from our president. We know where J.D. Vance stands. Are there no more foreign policy hawks in the Republican Party, or is the only place on the planet that they care about is Gaza?
I just want to show you our Wisconsin State Journal today also reprinting a Wall Street Journal, the other WSJ editorial, saying GOP Senate should press for sanctions. So the Wall Street Journal story reprinted today in Wisconsin State Journal is saying Lindsey Graham, Tom Cotton, and Blumenthal on the Democrat side have 82 senators lined up to support a bill for sanctions against countries that buy Russian oil and gas. And if they had President Trump's support, they think that they could get that bipartisan bill across. So yeah, there are still some hawks. It's not even hawks. It's people who care about democracy and American values. I mean, there are still some among the Republicans, but so far they have been relatively quiet.
The lesson, as always, pick up the phone, call your senators, call your congresspeople, and tell them to use sanctions to help press Russia. That is the bottom line here, that the U.S. needs to support Ukraine. That is the pathway forward, not from Yoshiko and I, but from Republicans in the Senate, former Republicans. We can't wait to talk to you again, Yoshiko. Thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure. You take care. Folks, when we come back, an exclusive, the crazy Rojo sound from yesterday. Can you believe he might be dabbling in some conspiracy theories? I wore my special T-shirt. Watch us on YouTube or listen in here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Thank you.